Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Excited about going back to school? All right, so we had some difficulties with the sound, but Seth and Justin got it figured out, so it's working now. So will one of you guys like to pray before we get started? Got to pray hard and got to pray loud. You got it? Thank you. Amen. Thank you. All right, so we're going to be back in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. So you can turn your Bibles there if you got it. Now, I know it's been a while since we've been in Ephesians. So I'll just review some of the things we went over. So the book of Ephesians is about Paul just telling them to be unified, because there was a lot of division between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. And also he wanted to give them clarity about the mystery of the gospel and how they should live and walk in the love of Christ. So we went over the adoption, the ABCs. I hope you guys remember that as we get out of this series, just that you are adopted, that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and that God has specifically chosen you. Also, you have been forgiven, you have been redeemed, and we have just looked at how gracious God is, how gracious he truly is to us. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. You may be seated. One day, some of you will receive an inheritance. It may be money, maybe stocks or bonds, maybe even Bitcoin. You may get some property. You may get a business. You may get that special family item that's been passed down from generation to generation. But you're still kind of young, so most likely you have to wait. Maybe until you're 18 or 21. sometimes they put stipulations on when you get your inheritance. So you may have to wait till you graduate college. Or there may be a list of things that you have to do before you get this inheritance. And usually you can't get it until your parents die or your grandparents die. Now in the prodigal son, he didn't want to wait. He went to his father and asked for this inheritance. And when he got it, what did he do with it? He wasted it. Now, I would have liked to have gotten an inheritance when I was still in high school. That would have been great. But I'm pretty sure I would have wasted it. And it would have came of no value. So for us, we usually just have to wait until the passing of our loved one to get this inheritance. And the inheritance is good to have. It's great to have like money or property or whatever you may inherit. But today we will look at an inheritance that you get once you die. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14, there are two perspectives that will help you live a life that praises the Lord. So two perspectives that will help you live a life that praises the Lord. The first perspective that we will look at is awaiting your inheritance. So awaiting your inheritance in verses 11 through 12. Verse 11 begins just like verse 7 with in him. So to be in him, you must believe and trust in Jesus Christ, believing that he's your Lord and your Savior. And then your life is hidden in Christ. So you're dead to sin and you're made alive to God in Christ Jesus. For it is in him that we live and move and have our being. And it is in him that we have this inheritance. So if you were to look at verse 11, it says, in him we have obtained an inheritance. So we have obtained an inheritance is actually one word in the original language. So it means obtained by lot, or something that's assigned, or something that you received. And you really have nothing to do with it. It's all in the Lord's hands, and he's the giver. So kind of like when somebody spins a wheel. So if you ever watch Wheel of Fortune, usually people can't land on the exact number they want. They usually want the highest number, or they want the trip, or whatever it may be, but they usually can't land on it. That decision is the Lord's, really. So just like when you see people like rolling dice, it's really in the Lord's hand unless you manipulate it. Or like your gender. Did any of you choose to be a boy or a girl, or was it just so? Right? It's just so. It's in the Lord's hands. He controls it. And I remember being at a sin camp, like when we used to sin camp, they kind of used to gamble really heavily, not really on money or anything like that. But we did a lot of like gambling games. So we would get this dice and we would roll it to see who would get the most dice. And then they would get the $100 at the end. Some of you guys remember this. And I remember Adrian Lindell yelling out Proverbs 16:33. I'm like, What does that even mean? I don't even know that verse. But it says the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. So all this gambling that you're doing, trying to win, is really up to the Lord who will be winner. And we really shouldn't be gambling anyways, though, but that's how it goes. But we see this in the Bible. Sometimes they cast lots when they had to make different type of decisions. So even in the book of Joshua. So Joshua became the prophet to lead the people into the promised land after Moses. And they spent 7 years conquering the land of Canaan. And then the rest of the years, they spent dividing up the land. So there was like seven tribes left who weren't assigned a property. So instead of Joshua just saying, you take this one, take this one, take that one. No, he just went to the Lord. So he went before the Lord and cast lots. When I think of casting lots, I always think of rolling dice. That's something I used to do in my past. The Lord has forgiven me for that. But I always think of them like just throwing dice. He's like, all right, the Lord said you can have this one. The Lord said you can have this one. You can have this one. So he wanted it to be of the Lord and not of himself. And you see that throughout the Bible. They're just casting lots, not to know if God is God, but asking God for direction. So isn't it such a blessing to know that you're gifted this inheritance? An inheritance that you have heard so much about, but you have never seen. You know how glorious it is, but you have never seen it. And our inheritance is this eternal life, being able to live forever. It's like nothing we know of in this world is the same exact way forever. Verse 11 continues, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So in God's sovereignty, he has chose us. He has chose us according to his divine and eternal plan. And God works all things out for his glory and for our good. It reminds me of Romans 8:28. Like, you guys know that those that love the Lord, all things work together for good for them. So if you love him, things are working out for your good. If you don't love him, things aren't working out for your good. We'll move on to verse 12. It says, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Now, as I was looking in commentaries and trying to see who were the first, they just weren't clear. But when I went over this sermon this morning, it just seems like it was the apostles. Like, the apostles were the first to hope in Christ. Those are the people that God told to follow him. And they did so. And they also received this eternal life, this great inheritance. I love, like, when Jesus came, he always telling people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's like you inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's move on to the next perspective. The next perspective is trust in the guarantee of your inheritance. So trust in the guarantee of your inheritance in verses 13 through 14. Verse 13 says, in him who also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So now he's talking about everybody. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. Once they heard and believed in the Lord, they received the Holy Spirit. But it's not like the hearing when you're busy. Like, when you hear something, it goes in one ear and out the other. Maybe your mom or dad is telling you to do something, but you're busy. You're playing the game or you're on your phone and you hear them, but you don't hear them. Like, you know what they told you to do, but you don't do it. So it's like you never heard it. But when they heard it, they were changed. And in the book of Acts, it tells us how they heard. So Paul went to Ephesus, and he was there for about 3.5 years. And he was preaching the gospel to them and trying to convince them of the truth of the gospel. We also see Priscilla and Aquila. They were there ministering in Ephesus. And also Apollos, he was there preaching the gospel to the people of Ephesus. And they heard the truth. So it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, in Romans 10:17. And they heard, and they were able to have this faith. They believed in the word of truth. So the Bible is true. And usually we talk about this truth in 3 different ways. Like, the Bible is inspired, it's inerrant, and it's infallible. So it's inspired. Every word is breathed out by God. Like, all scripture is God-breathed. So it's inspired. And then it's inerrant. So the Bible, it doesn't make mistakes. It cannot be wrong. Then it's infallible. So the Bible is capable to help you. It won't fail in what it says. Every word of God proves true. And we talk about the word being true in other ways, like it's sufficient. It's able to help you in each and every way. It's living. It's like everything in heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. Like, it's alive. So God's word is true, and there's nothing truer. So the Ephesians heard and they believed. So they heard about the bad news too. I know you guys know the bad news. Anybody who doesn't believe is going to hell. It's true. And you know the good news. You know that Jesus has came and died so that you may have life. You know this. You probably heard it time and time and time again. But do you believe it? Right? How do you feel when you hear the gospel? Are you excited? Do you have joy? Are you thankful? Like, are you tired of hearing it? Like you don't want to hear it anymore? How do you feel when you hear it? What do you think? Do you think about how you were before you knew Christ? Or are you at that point where you're ready to know Christ? They believe that. I know you believe it. And if you're on the fence about it, if you're a goat hanging with the sheep, you're not a sheep. You're still a goat. He knows you're a goat. But you can repent and believe. You don't have to be lukewarm. And if your heart is hard against the Lord, you know where you're going. You know what you inherit. The end of verse 13 says, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So being sealed with this Holy Spirit. So back in the day, they used to send these letters, and they used to put a seal on the letter. So sometimes you may get a letter, and it might have like a sticker on there to keep it down. Well, this would usually be a seal. So they would have hot candle wax, and they would drip it on there somehow, and then they would have a stamp. So if I'm thinking about Paul's stamp, I think it says AP or something, Apostle Paul, and he stamps that letter. And that seals it, and they know that it's from Paul. So some of you have dogs and cats and different type of animals. But does your dog have a collar? I know some of you guys live in a country, you might not really need a collar, but most dogs in the city, they have a collar in case the dog gets lost. It's a way that he can be identified. And even now, people are putting chips into their animals so they can find out exactly where they are. And this is kind of like the seal that we have. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, you have this seal identifying you as his. Like, he's your God, he's your protector, and he will take care of you. So if you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, you believe in God, Christ is also in you. And that's a wonderful thing. But sometimes we can tend to box the Holy Spirit in. Like he's not God. Like he's not a person. But he is. Like sometimes people only talk about him like when they're being convicted. Like, yeah, the Spirit convicted me to apologize or to do this or to do that. But the Spirit does so much more. It strengthens you on those days that you are weak. It illuminates the Scriptures to you. So when you're reading and you don't understand, you can ask the Spirit and he can help you understand. He also produces fruit in your life. He guides you. He gives you access to God. The Spirit is God, and the Spirit seals us. Verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory? The Holy Spirit is our guarantee. It's like a down payment. So as you get older, you might buy a car, buy a house, and you have to put a down payment. And usually you put a down payment to lessen the future payments. But this payment is more like security. More like you buying something and leaving it at the store. So say you buy a bag of chips. Would you ever just leave it and go back for it? No, because most likely it'd be gone, really. But nobody does that. But that's kind of what's going on with us. The transaction really isn't complete. God has left us here because he has work for us to do. Right? And it's not complete until he comes back or until we pass away. I like what Peter said about our inheritance. He said our inheritance is imperishable, meaning that it will not decay. As you buy new things, you get these. I know most of you guys got new book bags or new clothes last year, right? Pretty much it might be a little decayed, a little raggedy this year. So you might have to get a new one. And that's what happens with everything around us. Like even with your bodies. I know you're still growing, but sooner or later your body's going to start decaying and you're going to get old and you're going to have aches and pains and all these things and wrinkles and gray hair. So much comes with getting older. But knowing that when you get to heaven, everything will be imperishable. Not only everything you see, but even yourself. And it's undefiled. So no corruption, no sin. You will not have any more evil thoughts. I can't wait for that day. Because it's like I cannot control my mind. It just goes wherever it pleases. And I would love to have godly thoughts all the time. But I do not. That will be a great and wonderful day. And also it's unfading. So we'll be able to be there forever. Forever. Like that's just a great time. Forever the sun will be shining his light. No more darkness. I'm praying that there's no more mosquitoes. And honestly, I do not want to use the bathroom anymore. I would like to for that to be over with, but we will see when we get there. And we get to see all our loved ones, the people that's gone, that you miss so much, that you'll get to see. But most of all, we'll get to see God. We'll get to see the one that we've been praying to for so long. It'll be great. It'll be great. I really look forward to that day. It'll be awesome. But that day doesn't come, not yet, not until our race is over. Not until God calls us home. But it's greater than any inheritance that you can get on this earth. It's better than anything that money could buy. This eternal life in heaven with our God. And Paul ends with, to the praise of his glory. So throughout this section, Paul has been taking these little praise breaks. So at my old church, like every once in a while, the pastor be preaching, he started feeling it. He just might yell out, hallelujah. Like, I know you're not used to that, but he'll just yell out, hallelujah. Or you might just raise your hands because even though he's preaching, he's still praising the Lord. Now, he would even dance sometimes and shout and a lot of other things go on up in there. But, man, we just be having a good time, like just praising the Lord. So we have so many reasons to praise the Lord. He has blessed us so much. So let's see if we can get one reason why you can praise the Lord. One reason from the girl's side, one reason from the boy's side. One reason, there's many reasons we can praise him. We can praise him all day. Just one reason, one volunteer from each side. You guys can't volunteer Lincoln because you always volunteer him. Somebody else has to step up. Yep. All right, girls, you choose freely. Okay. Family. Yep, you can praise God for your family. What'd you say?
The rooted ministry.
Okay, the rooted ministry, yes. That's a great reasons to praise the Lord. It's the first time that I'm really, like, I think close to running out of time, so I'm going to try to get through this thing quickly. Okay, so some things to take home with you. So how can you await your inheritance? By seeking the things that are above. Setting your mind on things that are above. One way you could do this is by meditating upon the scriptures. So there are many scriptures that talk about heaven and then about your inheritance, like Revelations 21 and 22. You have 1 Thessalonians 4 that speaks about the rapture. You have Isaiah 65. But don't just read them and breeze through it. I want you to soak in them. Like when you were a kid in the bathtub, just playing around, having fun, not washing nothing, just soaking in the water. I want you to soak in the scriptures. And allow it to get your heart and your mind off of the worldly things. And allow it to fill you with the kingdom of heaven. So that you can live a life that is centered around Christ. And next, just trust in the guarantee of your inheritance. Trusting in the Holy Spirit. Allowing him to lead you and guide you according to what the word says. Knowing that he will never tell you anything that's contrary to the word. So if you feel like he's telling you something that's opposite of the Bible, it's not coming from him. It's coming from you or something else. Just be mindful and sensitive to what the Spirit is telling you. He may be telling you to share the gospel. He may lay somebody on your heart to pray for. He may be telling you to pray. But trust him. And be bold. Just because he tells you to share the gospel doesn't mean that person is going to get saved. Just means he's telling you to deliver the message. So continue to trust him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, I pray for these students as they start back school. May their minds and their hearts be focused on you, Lord. May you keep them from the evil one as they go into this secular place, Lord. But also may they be a light to those around them. Keep them from stress and worry. May they remember how big you are and how much you have them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.